9:30, worship at 10:30, and Wednesday Bible study and fellowship meal at 7 p.m. All are welcome at First Conservative Baptist Church. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. It's always our joy, delight to have you tune in, joining in the dialogue discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I have Dr. Neil Phelps with me today. Dr. Phelps is one of the Bible College professors in the College and Universities, Conservative Theological University. We love to depend on him with some good thoughts and insight in the Word of God. Dr. Phelps, just take a moment and let's talk about prophecy. Why should we study prophecy? What does it do? If we study prophecy correctly, what should it say to us? How should we respond?
We should respond by looking up and expecting the Lord's return, because in connection with what we're speaking about here today, we believe this speaks of the coming of Christ as King. At his first advent, he came as our Redeemer, as our Savior, and he's coming back again just as surely as he came the first time at his second advent, and he's going to be the King during the future millennial kingdom.
Amen. And one of the things I believe, Dr. Phelps, that our listeners need to understand is, and I go back to it, and I don't want to go to seed on it, but it is the hermeneutic. Explain to our listeners, when we talk about hermeneutics, what does that mean, what does it connote, and how is it applied for biblical study?
Well, hermeneutics has to do with the proper interpretation of the Scriptures. And we believe that's so important if we're to understand what God has to say in the Scriptures about any topic, especially in prophecy. We believe that prophecy misunderstood can be confusing to those who are speaking and to those who are hearing. So if people are to be telling the truth, then we need to have proper interpretation of the Scriptures, and that is to follow the rules of hermeneutics.
Absolutely. I've used the term, Dr. Phelps, and you've heard me even from the pulpit speak on this subject. There are 5 things important in hermeneutics. Context, 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 context.
Right.
If it's a text used out of context, it's a pretext and should never be used for a text. And yet we find that taking place on a rampant basis even today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just pick up something from this article, then we'll take our next caller. It says, Pastor John Hagee have contended for years that blood moons portend significant events for Israel and the Middle East, and therefore the end of the world. Hagee wrote a best-selling book about it called 4 Blood Moons. The quote, "The heavens are God's billboard. He's been sending signals to Earth, and we haven't been picking them up." Hagee explained a decade ago when talking about a particular remarkable series of blood moons called the tetrads, that the four blood moons with a span of 2 years. The last time a tetrad took place was 2014-2015, and all four of those eclipses landed directly on Jewish holidays. And the point is, Dr. Phelps, John Hagee takes these, say they fall on Jewish holidays, and if it falls on a Jewish holiday, that must mean the end of the world. Now, there's a problem with that hermeneutic when we look at what is found in the scripture. And each time there, it's talking about the moon turning to blood. It is in the context of in the middle of or at the end of the tribulation days just before Jesus Christ returns. And we're not in the tribulation. The rapture hadn't taken place. And from the scriptural standpoint, the biblical standpoint, Christians don't have anything to worry about the tribulation. The tribulation is the thalipsis, it is the wrath of God, the thumos, the white-hot anger of God. And God's not angry with the Christian. God's anger has been mitigated on the cross in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Christian doesn't have to worry about being in the tribulation. We'll be snatched out in the rapture of the church and will not be here. I believe I have Jamie on the line. Jamie, go ahead with the question or comment, please. Jamie, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is Danny.
Danny, yes.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Well, thank you for taking my call, and good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood, Dr. Phelps. I pray y'all are having a great day.
Yes.
Yeah, I look at this. I turn it around a little bit because I've been around a couple of years, and I'm not a bright guy. I'm not a studied person as far as the world is concerned, but I read my Bible on a daily basis and have for years, and I try to study it and see what I can pick out of it to apply to my life, and that's usually about 100% of it. But the way I see things is because they talk about the signs, and I understand that. Oh, my gosh, look at this year. The Southeast was ravaged by an unprecedented storm. I mean, my hometown alone, I have seen such devastation here. I've been into a lot of disaster areas. I've never seen anything like what even happened in my hometown. We're going to be a year or two easy getting cleaned up. Not even to think about those folks in North Carolina that had towns completely wiped away. And now we see these devastating fires in California. I mean, you look at these pictures on the TV and it just takes your breath away. It's just unfathomable. And so, you know, we think about that. We think about the coming of the Lord. Now, He talks about the signs. And yes, we have signs. We have blood moons. We have eclipses. We have lunar eclipse, solar eclipse. We've had those throughout history. And we will continue to have those until the time of His coming. Mm-hmm. So what I say is, yes, I pay attention to the signs for this reason. And I think He makes it so clear in His word. It's not necessarily that He's coming today, which He can. It's that He's coming, and you mm-hmm. need to be ready. Doesn't matter Amen. If it's today, 10 years from now, 40 years from now, 100, whenever. The whole purpose of this is clearly in my mind, the way I understand it, is you just need to be ready, and that's the way I see it.
Absolutely. Danny, Amen. Hang in there for just a moment. I'm going to read Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and following. And there shall be signs, that Simeon's benchmarks, roadmaps, in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexities in the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's pointing to the rapture of the church, and the rapture of the church, and following that, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, we can look at the astrological signs and understand that God's word is coming to fruition, but God is saying, look up, lift up your head, realize that I'm in charge. Has nothing to do with saying that there's a blood moon, or these tetrads, as they're called, with the four blood moons. That somehow, some way, we can set a date. This one happened on this date, happened on this date. Therefore, pulling it together, it means that the end of the world is coming. That's simply astronomically wrong. We need to take it on the basis that in context of what God is saying. But the bottom line is, Danny, Jesus Christ is coming soon. We need to be ready. Yes, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, of which there are no signs to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. But all of these things was in the big picture. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear and snatch us out of this old world. I look forward to that. And I'm thankful that you do. Danny, Dr. thank Youngblood, you so much.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes,
okay.
Go ahead.
So you're talking about Dr. Hagee and some of these other people talking about the signs and how it has an effect on Israel with the different days and whatever. My problem with that is not only is it a false prophet to me, but say people listen to him and say, oh, we understand what he's saying, and so we've got to be prepared. Well, they get prepared, they get ready for the Lord to come, and guess what? The Lord doesn't come. So they fall aside. They said, we don't believe all this because, you know, he's supposed to be here and it doesn't happen. So to me, that is just so much harm done in people trying to do things like that. It's heartbreaking because I know there are a lot of people that don't know the word of the Lord, but then all of a sudden they get involved with someone like that that makes these promises or says that, you know, the Lord's going to come, and then that does not happen. And these people are easily swayed one way or the other. So they just finally say, you know, there can't be anything to this. I don't believe in this anymore. So he does more harm than good. And I just pray that people, before they start listening to this person or that person or this son or that son, just read the Word of God. Just read the Word of God. Do it daily. Don't just do it here and there and go through it. I mean, from end cover to cover. And do it again and again and again and again. Until you
amen, brother. Brother, you're preaching my message. You're preaching my message now. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say that about the Youngblood, and I do thank you for your program. I thoroughly enjoy it, and I enjoy the messages you get out every day.
Thank you so much, brother. God bless you, Dr. Phelps. Yes, what kind of footnote would you like to add to our conversation?
Well, one of the things I would like to say is amen to what our friend just said a few minutes ago. One of the things that the Bible teaches us in Matthew and also in Luke is that we don't know exactly when the Lord's coming, but we can see some signs that point to his return in glory to be the king. Mm-hmm. Now, if we're seeing some of those, then the rapture is even closer.
That's right.
And so I read in Matthew 24, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." We don't know when, and we should be ready at all the time for his return in glory. But I wanted to point out that signs are something that are talked about in the Bible. Go back all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. The sign, the lights in the sky or in the heavens were made for signs and for seasons and for days and years. That's Genesis 1:14. And so that is true, but we need to remember that we need to study what the Bible has to say in prophetic scriptures in context.
Yes, context.
To know what it's talking about. In fact, in Joel chapter 2, the Bible is talking about the day of the Lord that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a time when the Lord is going to call an end to Gentile world rule, and when God's going to rule from heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we believe that what we're studying in many cases is a pointing to that time that is yet future, when the Lord's going to come to rule and reign during the future millennial kingdom.
Amen.
And it pertains to Israel. These things pertain to the people of Israel. According to 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom.
That's right.
And so signs do pertain to the people of Israel. But God will deal with them in a very special way during the tribulation time to bring them to repentance, and especially at the time of the return of Christ, that they will turn to Him in faith, and there will be a regeneration of a remnant of Israel who will then enter into the millennial kingdom with Christ.
Absolutely. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7 and following relates to that. And Dr. Phelps, you touched on the text in Joel. I'm going to take a minute and read Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and a few verses. "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in the, those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, and the blood and the fire and pillars of smoke. The sun," verse 31, "the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before," pros, "in front of that great and terrible day when the Lord comes." So ladies and gentlemen, notice in that text, Dr. Phelps, "and it shall become afterwards." It's after Israel's future repentance. It's after the remnant comes to know Christ as Lord. Zechariah chapter 12 that you related to just a moment ago. It's not talking about the present tense today when it talks about the blood, moon turning to blood. And I want to harp on that thought, Dr. Phelps, for our listeners to understand. We cannot buy what is being marketed today and calling it prophetic understanding of the text and understanding prophecy. In fact, Joel chapter 2, verse 31, "the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and terrible day of the Lord comes." Then the Peter, the apostle, repeats that prophecy in Acts 2:20, talking about it. Then in Revelation 6:12, "and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." It's talking about the day of the tribulation.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What do you like to add to it? Or do you have any questions in relationship to what is being discussed today? And ladies and gentlemen, it's after the tribulation and Jesus' second coming, found in the Luke text we read it earlier, chapter 21, verse 25 and following. It points to the celestial signs before the end of the days, and there will be signs in the sun and the stars, and on earth distress of nations and perplexities because of the roaring of the sea and the waves and people fainting with fear, with foreboding, it is called in this text, what is coming to the world. Ladies and gentlemen, and then it concludes, "and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great joy and glory." It is talking about, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ comes back at the conclusion of 7 years of tribulation. Some of these so-called prophets, I believe, reject the rapture of the church, and they believe that somehow, some way, the next thing is, and some even teaching and saying today that we're in the early days of the tribulation. We're not in the tribulation. The Christian, the church, will not go through the tribulation. We'll not go through halfway part of the tribulation. We will be kept out from the days of the tribulation, according to the scripture. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's important for us to study prophecy, but it's also important for us to understand prophetic text in context with what God is saying. And as Dr. Phelps said just a moment ago, we should look forward to understanding the signs, because as we understand it, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, snatching us out of this old world. But ladies and gentlemen, believers as well as non-believers are becoming fearful when today we have some of those that are trying to prophesy dates and times and relying on mystical theory. But ladies and gentlemen, according to the biblical account, the blood moon sign will occur after the days of the tribulation. During the latter part of the tribulation, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 and following, is very, very clear that that is the time frame. It is not now. And therefore, I say, Dr. Phelps, need to be careful who we read behind, need to be careful who we listen to, need to be careful of what messages we ingest by way of online and by way of television, et cetera, et cetera. Joel 2:28 and following discusses after the tribulation. Revelation 6:12 and following discusses during the tribulation. Luke 21:25-28 is talking about the end portion of the tribulation, when at the end of it, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the analysis of what is being said today, what is being preached and taught today, these people are doing so without proper biblical hermeneutics that is looking at chronology and context. Chronology and context. Dr. Phelps, I've said many times, if you look at John 3:16, it's a wonderful text, but you need to look at John 3:1-15 to see what John 3:16 is talking about. And then if you look at John 3:16, see what the Lord says after that in verse 17 through verse 36. Listen, we need to understand the correct chronology and biblical events. And for the benefit of our listeners, Dr. Phelps, here's the way I outline it. Next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, 7 years of tribulation that I call the 7 years of ruin. Following the 7 years of ruin will be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever I shall see him, according to the scripture. And then the rule and the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity. That's what the scripture talks about, and that's what we need to understand. And by the way, Jonathan Cahn, ladies and gentlemen, and you can get angry if you want to, he said this just a few years back. He said, Pope Francis is the 266th Pope, and he's coming to the U.S. to meet with President Obama, and that is on 9/23/15. That is the 266th day of the year. September the 13th is Elul, the 29th, which is said to be the wipeout year on the Jewish calendar. Thus, Shemitah will take place. Now, that's a lot of juxtaposition of nothing. That's looking at a date and time and place and adding this, adding that, adding the other, and saying that. And then Mark Beltz, that's B-I-L-T-Z, that predicted the second coming of Jesus would occur in the fall of 2015, with the 7 years of tribulation beginning the fall of 2008. So you've got these guys that have already given us false predictions. What does the Bible say, Dr. Phelps, about false preachers, false predictors, false prophets?
God says that quite often in the book of Jeremiah and in other places. We find that God condemns them or places a curse upon them because they're saying things that God didn't say. They are speaking words that God didn't give them, God didn't teach them. In Jeremiah, Jeremiah says they get that from their own imagination.
Mm-hmm. In fact, Jeremiah, if I can paraphrase, said, you tell people this, this, and this, and you guys ain't even talk to me. There lies the problem. But the problem is, Dr. Phelps, as I see it, is 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4 says, for the time will come, and I say has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, they will not listen to, put up with what is correct, sound doctrine, but after their own lust, cravings, desires, shall they heap to themselves, that's accumulate to themselves, teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, mythos, false teachings, fables, and fiction. And that's what we see. You touched on, you spoke about Jeremiah. I'm looking at a text in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. We have those today, and perhaps you're listening, and that's your position, that you embrace all of these mystical, fictitional, false teachings that goes out on the airways and in many pulpits today. It's because the love of that which is unusual, that which is different, that which is mystical, that which supposedly no one else knows but that particular prophet, that's what many fall after. Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. That is, they're deadly, dangerous, and destructive. Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs, and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Dr. Phelps, take a moment. What is that text saying in Matthew 24:24?
I think it's a warning to us not to listen to false teachers, because they will only confuse us about the future.
Yes.
See, the prophecy is given to us according to the book of Amos. God doesn't do anything unless he tells the prophets, his prophets, mm-hmm. About what he's going to do. And God has given us prophecy to give us, who are believers, hope for things to come. It's not to have a dread for things to come, but to give us hope. We hope for the things that God has prepared for us in the future. We find that God gives us these things to tell us so that we'll be looking forward to, in faith, for what God is going to do. And he wants us then to be looking up. He wants us to be looking for the soon coming of Christ. Mm-hmm. In fact, the word look is found quite often in the Bible, and it's a word in the Bible that gets our attention so that our attention will be upon the truth and not upon the false, so that we'll be looking and hoping for the soon coming of our Savior.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our focus should be on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Our focus ought not to be on some super sensationalist looking to make headlines and reap the profits, profits. The study of biblical prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, should do three things, in my most humble opinion. It should cause us to be excited about Jesus Christ's soon return. Secondly, it should cause us to reach out to others, share the gospel, the good news, that they can go to heaven with us. And the third thing, it should cause us to trust in the Word of God. If we know that in the Scripture, all of the prophecies about Jesus' first coming were fulfilled verbatim, just as God said it would be. If that took place, and it did, it should cause us to place our reliance and our trust and faith and hope in the fact that Jesus Christ's second coming will be exactly like the Bible says that it would be. We don't have to go outside of the Word of God to understand what God's Word is saying. We can, through the work of the Holy Spirit speaking in our hearts and lives, we can understand it. Now, many, and I recommend this, ladies and gentlemen, very much, if you're going to be in the pulpit teaching, preaching, Sunday school classroom, deacon, etc., you need to say, God, I need to know your Word better. Many times, Bible college and Christian seminaries are the places for you that you can study the Word. And the key to that is to be able to study the hermeneutical principles and get a handle on how to study the Bible, how to find chronology, how to look at context and understand what God is saying. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer today that you've listened and listened well. The very first sign of the last days is the false prophets coming, and Jesus himself warns of the false prophets and what will take place if we do not pay attention to his word. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.